Thank you for downloading this podcast. We hope you enjoy the following message from Gateway Family Church.
This morning, we are going to be talking, continuing our series called Refresh, Renew, Restore. And in this series, one of the things we talked about last week was doing that for our spirit. And we talked about how we need to refresh our spirit and our relationship with God, and so then we're gonna continue to move on to different aspects of our life. So today we're gonna be talking about our physical body, and I know right off the bat, like, most people are gonna not like this sermon, because in churches, the two things they don't want you to talk about is your body and your money. And so that's what we're gonna talk about the next 2 weeks. This week is the body, next week is our money, and then we'll get into relationships and we'll move on. But today I want us to talk about the physical body, and I'm gonna go ahead and say right off the bat, I'm a little bit intimidated because some of the coaches at the gym where I work out are actually here today, and so now I'm scared. Like, what am I going to say? I'm going to screw up, right? So we'll just try to stick to notes today and see what happens. But here's the thing. A lot of times we get this concept of health that as long as we pray and ask God to heal us, then everything's going to be okay. So therefore, we don't have to worry about our physical man, because it's really all about the spirit anyway, right? It's all about going to heaven one day. It's all about the great hope, and it's not about what's happening here. And sometimes we think, well, I can do whatever I want to do and just ask God to heal me, and then everything's going to be all right. But the problem is, in the Bible, although Jesus healed a lot of people, and the Bible shows us a small glimpse of him healing at least 30 different people, there's a problem there, is that some of them were healed because they had a physical problem from birth. Some of them were healed because they had a spiritual problem causing a physical issue. And so today what I want to talk about as we get into this is, a lot of times what we think is just physical might be something spiritual going on. There may be something inside of you that's a problem, right? So we can't go to God and smoke for all of our life and go to God and say, I need you to heal me of my lung cancer, but I'm going to keep smoking. That doesn't make any sense. That's not how it works. There's a spiritual addiction happening that's causing a physical problem. Does that make sense a little bit? To give you a little illustration today, how many of you ever had a goldfish? Anybody had a goldfish at home? Goldfish, yes, yes, yes. My kids always beg for pets all the time, and I tell them, if you can learn how to take care of a goldfish, then you can have a pet. But every time we've had a goldfish, they kill them all, right? All the goldfish die, and I refuse to take care of fish or any other animal in our home, so I just let them deal with it. And so so you can have this goldfish. So here's the thing about a goldfish. You can take a goldfish, you can put the goldfish in the water, you can buy the most expensive tank you want to buy, you can teach your goldfish to go around in circles, right? And then go around the other way and do 10 laps a day to get its health up so the goldfish stays healthy. You can take the goldfish to the best veterinarian in the world. You can even go buy the best goldfish food that you want to buy and put it in there, and then teach your goldfish to only eat certain portions of that goldfish food so that they don't get overweight. And the goldfish will still die if you don't change the water. Right? Like, the goldfish is still going to die. And we've had that happen in our house. We did all the right stuff with the goldfish, but we never changed the water. And I walk in one day and we smell this horrific smell. We've been on vacation. We come back in, the whole house smells like death. And what is it? It's the goldfish in my kid's room, because the water never got changed. And so the goldfish is sitting there, you know, in the floating position. It's a new thing. And so the idea is this. In America especially, here's our problem, is we spend, and I think it was 2015 or 16, we spent $3.2 trillion on health care. $3.2 trillion. That's as much of a budget as some countries have, and we spent just that on healthcare, and yet at the same time, we're one of the most unhealthy nations in the world. There are nations like Cuba that have just as good, if not a little bit better, lifespan or life expectancy than the U.S. does. They don't spend $3.2 trillion on healthcare. We do. 6 of the 10 leading causes of death in our country are health-related. Health-related, not gun-related, not war, health. Health-related. And so here's the problem. We spend all this money on all the great stuff, on all the doctors and the gyms and the foods and the stuff, but the problem is the water's not being changed, the environment's not being changed, the culture isn't being changed. And so we still live in this culture that talks about health, but doesn't promote it. Uses it to try to sell a product, but doesn't really help people get healthy. Here's the thing, that the doctors, the hospitals, the insurance companies, they all work together. Pharmacies, they all work together, and they all make tons of money off of us. But yet we're not getting any healthier. And so something's got to change. Something's got to change. In church, something's got to change because I believe God cares about your body. I believe He cares a lot about who you are and how you feel. And I want you to look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. The Bible says, "Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely." Look at that word. If you're underlining today, underline completely. "And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." A lot of times we stop on spirit and soul and never think about the fact that God wants our whole body to be sanctified completely. God wants our bodies. What does it mean to be sanctified? All it means is to be holy and set apart. It means to be refreshed, renewed, and restored. God wants our bodies to be sanctified just as much as He wants our spirits to be sanctified. John says this in one of his writings, I think in 3 John. He says that I want you to prosper and be in health. I want your body to be in health just as your soul prospers. So in other words, just as much effort as you put into your spirit man, you need to also be putting effort into your physical man. The two go hand in hand. They're both important. God cares about who you are. He cares about your body. He doesn't just care about part of you. He cares about all of you. He cares about all of you. And it's important. So what do we need to do today? We're going to be talking about the same three things: renew, refresh, and restore. And whenever we talk about renewing, we talk about what does the Bible say? How can I change my mind? How can I change the water, the culture of where I'm living and where I am? And so I want to look real quick and help us get an understanding of what God thinks about us, what the Bible says about our bodies. And let me, before I get into this, well, let's start. The first thing it says is, I am created in His image. Genesis 1:27, so God created human beings in His own image. In the image of God, He created them, male and female, He created them. Let me say this. The Bible says in the creation that God spoke everything into existence, right? He spoke the stars, He spoke the ground, He spoke the animals. But the one thing He got His hands dirty on was man. The only thing He put His hands on was man, and He got down in the dirt and created man. Why? Because He cares a lot about who you are. And He didn't get down in the dirt and create your spirit. No, no, no. He created your body out of the dirt. So in other words, He cared so much about us that He got down and He formed us with His own hands, formed our bodies, and then He breathed into us our spirit, but He formed us with His hands. That means that He cares a lot about your body. Yet we often discard the body. Don't care about it. It's just a tent. One day I'm going to die, so it doesn't matter how I live while I'm here. As long as the spirit is okay, but God cares about the body. And I like the fact that it says we're created in His image, and yet we don't exactly know His image. One of the problems I think we have today is we think we've got to be a certain image because TV tells us that you've got to look a certain way to be healthy. I'm going to be honest with you. I've been skinny my whole life. My whole life I've been skinny, I've been small. I remember when I was a kid, I always laugh about this, but whenever I was younger, I say a kid, in my 20s, I remember I could count my ribs all the way up to my collarbones. I thought my collarbones were ribs for a long time, right? Because I could just count them all the way down. And so like you could, if I took off my shirt, you could see my heart beating. I mean, I was just little, man. I've always been skinny, right? Always been skinny. And so you could look at me with the shirt on. I remember one time I used to think that if I wore a big enough shirt, that it would hide the fact that I was skinny until one day my brother told me I looked like a kite and he was going to tie a string to me and fly me around, right? Because I had this huge shirt and this little bitty arm sticking out. And, why are you laughing way too hard? Perry, you've heard this story. You shouldn't be laughing that hard. And so, if you look at me from the outside with clothes on, you might think, oh, this guy's healthy because he's not big. Fact was, I wasn't healthy. Skinny doesn't mean healthy. Right? And there's big people that are healthy. And so you don't get sucked into what TV tells you or magazines tell you is the perfect shape. There is no perfect shape. There's no perfect shape. And so get that in your head. The image I want is to be in the image of God. I want to be in the image He created me to be in. but I want to be healthy, but I need to understand first that I'm created in His image. He loves me enough to get His hands dirty to create me. The second thing you need to look at to renew your mind on this is to understand that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Now in 1 Corinthians 6, he's talking about sexual immorality, but he does talk about food in this same passage. Paul does, but here's what he says. He says, "Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself." If I can get the understanding that A, God cares enough to get His hands dirty to make me, and now B, that He cares enough about me that He considers me the temple for His Spirit to dwell in. Now, if you go back to the Old Testament and you read about how they built the temple, God was very specific on the things that went into the temple. Certain things could go in, certain things could not go in. Everything had to be designed and created in a certain way. And now He's saying that your physical body is that same temple. That should change the way I think about my body. I can't think about my body as just something, some old tent somewhere in the garage. I got to think about my body as the temple of the Holy Spirit, and I need to take care of the temple. Because certain things don't need to be going into the temple, right? The temple needs to be taken care of. And so we need to understand that. The temple, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And then the last one is, you are valuable to God. If you keep reading 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20, it says, "For God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body." He bought you with a high price, the price of His Son. He bought you with a high price. So honor God with your body. I've got to learn that my body is not just a case for my spirit. My body is something that can bring honor to God. My body can tell other people about God. My body, my health, can put me in a situation to bring honor to God. So it's important that we understand that our bodies are valuable to God. So we said we got to renew. That's our mind. The next thing we always have to do is refresh. So it's going through our series name here. And to refresh, we said, biblically means to breathe again. And in order to breathe again, we talked about how we got to remove some burdens. And so today what I want to do is I want to kind of give you some really basic stuff on this. But we're going to start in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 29. And Paul is talking here to the Ephesian church. He's talking about marriage, but I like what he says here. He says, "For no one has ever hated his own flesh or body, but nourishes and cherishes it just as Christ does the church." That word "nourish" there means nutrition. That's where we get nutrition from. In other words, what Paul's saying here is no man hates his body. A man is going to get nutrition into his body. He's going to take care of the nutrition part. And then it says to cherish. To cherish means to revive health, right? Now this is very important because today what we're going to do is we're going to go through a few practical things. And you need to understand that practical is also biblical today. And for some of you, you may say, "Pastor, you need to stick to the spiritual stuff and leave me alone in my physical body." But I want to show you today that the Bible cares about your nutrition and your health. God loves your body. So in order to help you remember today, I thought there's three words I wanted to talk about today. And I thought, how can I arrange this to where it makes sense? And so then I thought of the dumbest thing I could think of. And so Dan. So today, if you can remember the word Dan, the name Dan, then I didn't say damn. Okay, so some of y'all might think I'm cussing. I didn't. I promise. You know I don't cuss from the stage. That's the first time I've done that in weeks. And so Dan today is what we're going to remember. But the first thing is D is for diet today. And I know you're going to say, what kind of diet does the Bible talk about? Well, in our church, we're going through this 21 days of fasting. And then we got some people, like, we've got some of the craziest diets in our church. Like, some people are vegans, and some people are vegetarians, and some people are paleo, some people are keto diet, some people are seafood diet. If they see food, they eat it. You know, I mean, it's just like we got all kinds of diets going on. That's cool. But I want to just show you biblically who's right and who's wrong, okay? So if you're a vegetarian or vegan or whatever, I don't ever know the difference in the two. I know that I will never be either one. I love meat way too much. But Genesis chapter 1, verse 29 says this, "Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it, they will be yours for food." So if you're a vegetarian or vegan today, you can just praise God right now because you can say that biblically the Bible says this is proper. And that was the first diet, the very first diet. Up until this point, no animal had been killed. But by Genesis chapter 9, they had been killing lots of animals. God killed the first one, so if you're afraid of killing animals, just know God was the first one to kill an animal. He had to make clothes for Adam and Eve, didn't want them walking around in leaves. So he killed an animal, gave them some clothes. So in Genesis chapter 9, verse 3, it says, "Everything that lives and moves about will be food for you. Just as I gave you green plants, now I give you everything." So if you're a seafood diet person, you can say amen to that because it says everything, right? Everything can be eaten. And then in Leviticus, we're not going to get into all these verses, but in Leviticus chapter 11, God comes out and says, "Okay, now look, I told you you can eat everything, but I'm going to limit your diet right now. I'm going to limit your diet to certain foods." And sometimes I wonder, why did God limit their diet to certain foods? And there's probably a lot of speculation. A lot of smarter people than me can figure that out. But I think some of it had to do with where they were coming from. Some of it had to do with the nations that were around them. And some of it probably had to do with just understanding who they were. And I think God probably knew, like me, if he gave them free rein on pork, they'd be eating bacon all the time and have a heart attack, right? So God gave them some limitations. And then in Acts chapter 10 in the New Testament, God says, "Don't call anything unclean that I've called clean." In other words, and he was talking about food. He's also talking about Gentiles. But he just says, look, we're going back to this whole idea. But in the New Testament, a lot of it is about relationship with God and about moderation and understanding how to make that stuff work. So how do I know what diet is right for me? Well, I'm going to tell you real quick. If I can get my stuff to work. Here's what I want you to look at. Basically, we're going to look at just some of the basics in diet. And you got these in your notes. But if you can learn to eat lean meat, unless you're Lexi and you're not going to eat any meat at all, right? But you can learn to eat lean meat. My daughter, we were doing the 21-day fast. And my daughter's about this big around. And we said, "What are you going to fast during this 21 days?" She said, "I'm going to be a vegetarian. And I'm not going to eat any meat for 21 days. I said, "All right." You know, like I'm laughing. So the first day of the 21-day fast, we've got chicken at the house. And she looks at that chicken, and she grabs one and puts it on her plate. And I said, "No, ma'am. You're a vegetarian. You can't be eating that chicken." She said, "Well, what else can I eat?" And I said, "We got some green beans, and we got some black-eyed peas." And she said, "And that's all?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, that's all." She said, "Maybe I'll fast sugar." I said, "Oh, there you go. That's my girl." So lean meat, veggies. You're never going to go wrong with lean meat and veggies. Having some nuts in your system, that's good fat. Some fruit. Some fruit. Now, look, fruit's full of sugar, so you got to be careful with fruit, but some fruit. And I'm going to be honest with you, it's not easy to go into a diet like this. When you come off of being able to eat whatever you want to eat, and then you step into saying, "Oh, now I'm going to eat just some fruit, and I'm not going to eat any sugar," that's going to be very difficult. I'm going to be honest with you. At our house, we have a bunch of leftover Hershey Kisses in a jar, right? And so we had a birthday party the other night, 19 little girls at my house. I was like, "Please take Hershey Kisses, you know, like get them out of my house." And it's hard sometimes whenever I got a sweet tooth and I walk to the pantry and refrigerator. He'd say even he likes it. And I see the Hershey Kisses, and I'm like, "No, I'm going to make myself eat the blueberries instead," right? Like it's hard, but it's essential. Eating no sugar is a big deal, and no processed foods is a big deal. Part of the reason no processed food is because they put sugar in everything nowadays. And let me tell you something about sugar. I can't spend a lot of time on this, but I could. Here's the fact about sugar. Sugar does to your brain and your body the same thing drugs do. It's just as addictive. And there's actually studies that show that sugar has an effect on your skin. Sugar has an effect on your sleep. Sugar has an effect on your brain. It has an effect on certain organs. And yet nowadays we pump everything full of sugar. America has the mindset that my father-in-law had whenever Perry and Jonathan were little babies. And her mama couldn't get them to eat the green beans out of the jar, which, no joke, those things are gross, right? And the baby food. And so whenever her mama wasn't looking, her daddy would take a spoonful of sugar and dump it in there and mix it up and then feed it to them, and they would eat it. And he said, "Look, I don't know why they eat for me. They don't eat for you. They must love me, you know?" And nowadays in America, we have that same idea that we just fill everything with sugar and everybody's going to love it and they're going to eat it. The problem is sugar is so addictive. And here's how you know sugar's addictive. Don't eat sugar for a week. Don't eat sugar for a week. Just say, I'm not going to eat any candy. I'm not going to drink any sodas. I'm going to do away with all added sugar for 1 week. And just see how your body responds. You're going to lose it a little bit. You're going to lose it a little bit. So don't do sugar. And then here's another thing really quickly. I know I don't want to get into... I went to a nutrition class yesterday, and so I've got a lot of this information on my brain right now. But here's another one that you need to do. You need to understand that your body burns energy, right? Burns calories. And you would think it's by activity or you would, you know, like working out. But really, most of your body burns it through your metabolism. And so some people say, oh, I've got a really slow metabolism. And they look at me, and I've got a very fast metabolism by nature. I just always have. But there's a way to speed up your metabolism. And so let me give you a couple little things for some of you to write and try at home and see if it works. Eat. You wouldn't think that would be one of them, but eat. Don't starve yourself. If you starve yourself, your body goes crazy and your body starts storing fat. You think it would be the opposite. But don't starve yourself. Eat. And a lot of times they say, eat first thing in the morning. One of Jonathan's friends from Mobile was here a couple of weeks ago, and he just recently lost like 49 pounds or something crazy. 60 pounds. He recently lost 60 pounds, and his trainer and nutritionist told him, you got to eat first thing in the morning. He said, man, I wake up at 3:30 in the morning to go to work. He said, well, you better eat something first thing in the morning. He said, because it kickstarts your metabolism. And this guy says that's the hardest part for him. He said, I can work out all day, I can do all this stuff, but eating at 3:30 in the morning is very difficult for me. He said, but I make myself do it to kickstart my metabolism, and the dude's lost 60 pounds. So it's important that you eat. It's important that you drink water. It's important that you drink water. Look, coffee and tea also help. Don't be putting a bunch of sugar and milk in it, but coffee and tea help get that metabolism going. Another one is activity. Doing activity helps your metabolism. Cutting down on alcohol or no alcohol helps your metabolism. Why? Because alcohol slows down your system. Slows it down. And so these are things that will help you to get your metabolism going. The second part, oh, let me give you a couple examples real quick. I had a buddy of mine named John, and John was very overweight as a teenager. He was 6'2", 6'3", and probably weighed 270 pounds. I mean, he was very large human. And John decided for 1 month to not drink sodas. That was the only thing he did. He didn't drink sodas. He didn't exercise. He didn't eat right. He just cut back on sodas. Didn't drink soda. Drank water for a whole month. And the guy lost like 20 pounds. Shows you the effect sugar can have on you. Also, yesterday when we were the nutrition thing, there was a guy there. And he's a farmer now, but he said that whenever he was in the military, his wife got an autoimmune disease. And it was like a rash all over her body. And it's so rare. They said it was like one in 500,000 women get it when they're pregnant. It was this super rare deal. And the doctors couldn't figure out what was wrong with her. They kept trying different stuff. They couldn't figure it out. So she decided to go on this special diet where she would do no processed foods. Not really all that special. It's a paleo diet. You can look it up. But no processed foods, lean meat, a lot of the stuff we talked about here, no sugar. And all of a sudden, all of that disease went away. Like, she was cured, but it had to do with her diet. Now, some of you may say, yeah, but where is God in that? I'll tell you where God is. God is in creating a world full of food that's good for you, that can bring healing and health to your body. And sometimes we avoid it and go to the doctor and just go to prayer. Prayer's good. You need to pray. Don't get me wrong. But what if you're praying, but you're still eating all the bad foods? And God's speaking to you saying, if you would just cut back on all this bad stuff, I might could bring some healing to you. But we don't want to hear that part because all the noise of food is in our brain. And so we got to learn to cut back. The second one, part of Dan, is activity. We said that about activity, getting your stuff going. And let me say, the Bible does talk about activity. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. It says this, don't waste time arguing over godless ideas and old wives' tales. Instead, train yourself to be godly. Physical training is good, But training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. Now, at face value, you look at that and say, well, Gabriel, it just said that physical training is good, but what Paul's saying here, and you got to understand, I don't know that much about Paul's personal life, but he's always using illustrations of athletics. He talks about wrestling, he talks about boxing, he talks about racing. Paul is very in tune with athletics. Timothy, the guy he's writing to, was Greek. The Greeks understood the physical body and always wanted to take care of it. They invented the Olympics. I mean, so Paul is very in tune with the physical body. So he's not saying that physical training is not good. He's saying it is good. There is value to physical training, but you also need to be training your spirit. So he's saying that goes hand in hand. You need to be doing both. And he says this. He says physical training, basically, if you read that, he's saying that godly training offers benefits later in eternity. Yes, physical training offers benefits now in this life. There are benefits to learning how to physically train. Proverbs 31:17. Everybody likes to read this. All women want to read this, and they're like, this is the woman I want to be, the Proverbs 31 woman. But look at what it says in verse 17. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. So if you want to be a godly woman, you need to be doing curls, Anna. Right? Get some push-ups in. No, look at this for real. It goes on to talk about her business and her activity that she does. And there was a side of her that understood. And a lot of scholars, when I look at the commentaries, a lot of scholars say that this basically says that she understood how to strengthen her body so that she could perform everything that she was supposed to perform during the day. You know, a lot of times we have this problem. We come home, we're tired. We go to work, we're tired. We're having to drink all kinds of caffeine and all kinds of stuff just to get ourselves going through the day. And we're always so tired and worn out. But the Bible says you don't have to be like that. Like, you can exercise. You can get activity going in your life. I was listening to this guy talk, and he was a trainer, but he's 74 years old. I'll say some more about him. He is 74 years old, and he's a trainer at a gym. And one of the things he works with is he likes to work with older people. And he says, you know, one of the things older people don't ever want is they don't want to be dependent on other people when they get older. You know, as they get older, they don't want to be dependent on everybody. And he says, so I teach them to do things like lay down and stand up. He says, I tell them, lay down and stand up 6 times. Then I want you to stand on one foot, stand on the other foot. Now, for those of us that go to a gym, we're like, okay, well, you know, stand on one foot, it's not that big a deal, you know. But he's working with 60, 70, 80-year-old people. And and his whole concept is you've got to become active. If you're not active, and part of our problem with our world today, if you look back at these guys in the Old Testament and the New Testament, they're constantly walking, they're constantly traveling. We read stories about Abraham fighting wars at 100 years old. How is he doing that? He's doing that because in those days, they were constantly active and working and moving. And nowadays, we're chained to a desk and looking at a computer screen, and we don't ever do anything. We're in a car all day, and we're not doing anything. We've got to become active. Sometimes we go home and all we want to do, we've been at work all day, all we want to do is get home and watch TV. And our kid says, Dad, will you come outside and play with us? Mom, will you come outside and do something? And we're like, just get an iPad, just play a video game. Mom or Dad's trying to watch TV, I just want to relax. And our kids are begging for us to be active, and we're not active. So whenever I work at a school, and I work with a couple days a week, I work with kids that don't have dads, especially as part of my job is working with kids that don't have dads. And I was talking to a kid the other day, and he, you know, he's like 11 years old, 10, 11 years old. And the kid is extremely obese. And I was talking to him the other day, and I said, hey, we had all these snow days. What did you do during the snow days? Did you go outside? Did you play? Did you do something? And he said, no, I just played video games all day. I got on Xbox Live, and that's all I did. Every day, all day, for the whole snow days. We're creating this culture, and this water is so dirty where there's no activity happening. And then we wonder why kids are having health issues. But we promote it. We promote it. During this 21 days of fasting, one of the things I've noticed at our house is we're not watching as much TV. Just because of certain things that we're fasting and how we're doing things, the TV gets turned off a lot. And I noticed something the other day. When the TV was turned off, my kids became more active. When there was no TV to watch, they were outside running around. And, and they would be like, "Dad, come outside and play." I'm like, "Dude, it's 7 degrees. Like, I don't want to be active. It's cold, man. And your little body just doesn't understand heat yet and freezing." So they ran around and played. But we would take them to the gym and make them work out and make them run around. And our goal is, hey, how can we get active? It's important to be active. And the N on Dan is going to be numbers. Numbers. The key here is you got to have measurements. You got to have measurements. You got to understand, look, don't go through life just sitting around thinking you're healthy. You may think you look healthy when you look in the mirror, but maybe you're not healthy. Go to a doctor. Go get some stuff checked out. And this is the one, so like I'm really good on the diet part, I'm really good on the activity part, this is the one I'm terrible at. Okay, so if y'all want to know where's Gabriel the hypocrite, this is where I'm the hypocrite. I'm not good at numbers. I never go to doctors, ever, ever. I need to. And Perry and I have been talking for probably 8 years about we got to get a doctor, and we don't have one yet. You know, we really need to do this. I can't preach it and not do it, so y'all hold me accountable. I'll lie to you. And so you got to have numbers. You got to have numbers. You got to know what's going on in your life. What's going on in your life? Look, I thought I was healthy for a long time. And some of you have heard my story. I thought I was healthy for a long time until all of a sudden one day I had a stomach virus and they checked me out. They thought I had kidney stones. And when they x-rayed me, they found a mass on my heart. They had to cut me open and pull a mass out. I thought I was fine. I had no idea I had something growing inside of my body that was not supposed to be there, right? So sometimes you think you're okay because you look okay from the outside, but you need to get things checked out. So the 75-year-old man or 74-year-old man that's a trainer, I was listening to his story the other day. He said when he was 65 years old, he worked out all the time. He was a former football player. He always lifted weights. He went to his doctor for his annual checkup, and when he did, the doctor said, "Hey, man, you're going to have to do something." He said, "You are pre-diabetic." He said, "What do you mean I'm pre-diabetic? I can see my abs." You know what I mean? Like, which, man, if I could be 65 and see my abs, I mean, I'm 38 and can't see my abs. If I could be 65 and see my abs, it would be awesome. He says, "I'm 65, I can see my abs." And the guy said, "Yeah, but you're 28% body fat." He said, "Something's got to change. You got to change your diet. You got to change your activity level. There's got to be something that changes." This guy never would have known that he was about to be a diabetic had he not gone in for regular checkups and just checked out his measurements and his numbers. The guy goes in and he starts changing his whole workout regimen, changes his diet. And now all of a sudden he's 74 years old in the best health of his life at 74 years old. The guy looks great. He's training other people. How does that happen? He knew what he was getting himself into. He checked his numbers. And some of this stuff, if you want to talk to me later, we can talk about it and go through it. And I know we're going to have a small group in February that's getting ready for that Spartan race. And so we'll talk about all of this stuff. I'm looking over here because I know a lot of you guys are doing that. But we'll get into all of that later too. The last thing is this: God wants to restore our health. So we talked about what is restoration. Restoration is whenever you've lost something, and then God goes and gets it and brings it back to you. Right? You've lost something, and then God goes and gets it and brings it back to you. And I want to look at something real quick. Jeremiah chapter 30. And this is where we're going to close today. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 17. You can read the whole thing. The whole chapter is good, but I'm just going to kind of skip around and hit a couple of verses here. So verse 17 says, "I will give you back your health and heal your wounds." Some versions say, "I will restore your health and heal your wounds," says the Lord. "For you are called an outcast, Jerusalem, for whom no one cares." Verse 18, this is what the Lord says: "When I bring Israel home again from captivity and restore their fortunes, Jerusalem will be rebuilt on its ruins and the palace reconstructed as before." Verse 20, "Their children will prosper as they did long ago. I will establish them as a nation before me, and I will punish anyone who hurts them." Verse 22, we talked about this a few weeks ago. "You will be my people, and I will be your God." Let me show you something. When God restores our health, He also restores other stuff. He also restores our relationships. There's some of you, you got grandkids, you got kids, and you're thinking, "I want to be able to play with my kids and my grandkids. I want to be able to spend time with them. I want to be able to get off the couch. I want to be able to get up and go do something with my kids and grandkids." And I'm going to be honest, whenever I'm working out, a lot of times, I love going to the CrossFit gym because there's no mirrors, right? So you can't, when I go to the YMCA, not that there's anything wrong with the YMCA, but when I go to the Y, there's mirrors everywhere. So you get caught up sometimes looking at yourself. But when you're at CrossFit, you can't look at anything. There's nothing to look at. You're looking at a wall, you know, and then the floor where you're about to puke. And so there's just so many limited things to look at. And so you have to think about other stuff. And when I work out, I think about my wife and I think about my kids. And those are the things that whenever I'm tired, that motivate me to keep going. And I look down at my hand and I see that ring and I think, I've got to be here for her. Like, I've got to be here for her. There's something I've got to be around for, and I can't be dying too early. I've got to be here for her. Now, I feel like I'm dying in the gym sometimes, but I think I've got to be here for her, and I've got to be here for these kids. And I want to be able to play football with my son. I want to be able to coach them. I want to be able to play with them and wrestle. And I don't ever want to get to that place where I say no because daddy just can't do it anymore. And so whenever we start getting our health back, when God begins to restore our health, another thing that gets restored is our relationships. Now all of a sudden we can do stuff with people we were never able to do with before. Now all of a sudden we are able to hang out with kids and play with kids and grandkids. The other thing that he restores is he restores our purpose. The Bible says in there that you will be my people and I will be your God. So he's saying here, he's saying, look, I'm going to restore your purpose. We'll talk about this again next week when we talk about finances and how debt will keep you out of your purpose. But for today, I'm going to tell you this. Your health can keep you out of your purpose. There may be things God's asking you to do today. And you're saying, my heart is willing to do it, God, but my body can't handle it. And we need to get our health restored. We got to get our health restored so that our purpose can now be restored. My parents have been missionaries multiple times. And each time they get ready to go be missionaries, you know what they do? They take them and they run them through a bunch of health tests to see if they're healthy enough to be missionaries. It's important that our health is restored so that our purpose can be restored. And finally, our witness can be restored. Our witness can be restored. I can't tell you how many times, I mean, like, Beverly is, you know, I always say, I don't think she's my assistant or my secretary. She's kind of like the nerve center for this church, and so she does everything for me. And so Beverly recently started a new diet for her and just changed the way she was, not just eating, but the way she was thinking. And she's telling me today, she's like, I don't have, you know, arthritis doesn't hurt anymore because I'm not eating all this inflammatory foods or whatever. But the cool thing is everybody she talks to, she begins to tell them, you know, they're like, how'd you lose that weight? And all of a sudden she begins to tell them, this is how I lost that weight. And this is what God's doing in my life. And this is how God, and it always goes back to God, right? But it opens up doors for you to be able to communicate with people. I tell people all the time, for those of you that are doing the devotion with me on YouVersion, and we're going through the devotion, the other day one of the things I put on there was this idea about our purpose and how God's got a purpose for you. And I pray every day, God, show me my purpose for this church. Like, why am I in this church? Why am I in this church? Who am I here for? Why do I go to the gym I go to? I don't just go there to work out. I go there because God's got me there for somebody. I don't know who yet, but God's got me there for somebody. Why do I go to the gas station I go to? Why do I go to the store I go to? God, you've got me. And whenever you start restoring your health, you're going to start seeing, hey, I'm going to be active. How am I going to be active? Well, I'm going to go to a gym, or I'm going to just walk around my block. But there's a purpose in there. There's a witness in there that people are going to see you, and you're going to have common ground. You're going to be able to open up doors to tell people about Christ. The last verse today, and this is where we'll stop. If you want to stand up, you can stand up with me today. Sometimes whenever people talk about health or money, it becomes overwhelming. And I read to you earlier in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, and I talked about how God wants to sanctify your spirit, your soul, and your body. Look at verse 24. It says, God will make this happen. He who calls you is faithful. In other words, if you do your part, he'll do his part. God will make it happen. You get so overwhelmed sometimes, God, I can't do this. No. God's got you. Yeah, but Pastor, I need to gain some weight, or I need to lose some weight, or I need to get active. God's got you. God will strengthen you. Trust me, I have to pray before I do anything. God, today, give me the strength, mentally and physically, to do what I got to do to get through this thing. I pray about it because God's got you. He's going to pull you through this. Don't be overwhelmed. He loves you. He loves your body. He values you. We sang that song earlier about whenever I get to heaven and the wedding bells or something. And it said, and we're going to say, you're beautiful. But when I was singing it, I was seeing Jesus standing there looking at us, saying, you're beautiful. I love you. I gave my life for you. You're the best thing I've ever had. He loves you today. So bring some value back to your own body today.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more info about Gateway Family, visit our website, gatewayfamily.cc.